thanks for that. It's only a very short amount of me this evening, but we didn't want to touch on the subject of healing without looking at more what we've called inner healing. I was reading something recently in a little booklet that's been published by the Archbishop of Canterbury, and it said this: the healing ministry is one of the greatest opportunities the church has today for sharing the gospel. More than before in the last 100 years, many in our society realize there is a spiritual as well as a physical and a mental dimension to healthy living. Wholeness is the in word, and it is what everyone longs for. And as Patrick said, we're going to touch on some different types of healing today. Tim's going to broadly be speaking about physical healing, so I won't touch on that. But I just wanted to mention three other kind of types of healing that we might group under inner healing. So the first is what I've called inner or emotional healing. Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. In fact, it says in Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And I think every one of us carries some kinds of wounds. And I think that God wants to set us free from those and from the memory of those wounds. Now, I'm aware that some of those will be quite small. None of us have had the perfect upbringing, and there will be ways in which we've been wounded, and we've all had friends, and we've all had times when people have wounded us. Sometimes as individuals, and sometimes as a group, maybe a family group or a church or a group within something that we do. But I'm also aware that some people have suffered really big trauma, and people like survivors of abuse, they would have prayer that would be for inner healing alongside probably counselling and medical intervention. And I just wanted to talk to you about a couple of things that we've seen God do. I had the privilege about 10 years ago of praying for two young girls who had been abused by a family member. And I went through the whole journey with them, from the court case to all of the legal stuff, the police interviews, and the prayer part of it as well. And I saw God do an amazing thing. Now, they also had counselling, they also had medical intervention, but God brought them a freedom. In fact, I was speaking to one of them this week. They're in their 20s now, and God brought them through those times of prayer amazing freedom, and they are really transformed. Another thing I was thinking about recently was when Tim and I arrived in Harborne, gosh, I can't even think when that was, 2007. Just as we arrived, the associate vicar of the church, his wife had just died of a brain tumour, and she died literally just as we got there. And as a church, they'd prayed a lot for healing. They'd really prayed that she would be healed, and she unfortunately wasn't, and she died. And what we noticed over the next year or so, that there was a real disappointment in the church. There was a real disappointment with God and a real disappointment over the fact that she hadn't been healed. And we had this conference a couple of years later, and these speakers came from America. And we were just praying as a whole church family, all together in the main body of the church. And people were like praying out their prayers. And one guy in the church, who was a close friend of the associate vicar, he said, "Lord, we want to bring you the whole church is disappointment." And when he prayed that, God brought us as a congregation a real sense of healing. And after that moment, we experienced much, much more healing when we prayed for people in the church. And God brought healing to us as a congregation. And then just the third thing, some friends of my parents are foster carers. And a couple of years ago, they had a new foster child who'd been very, very damaged. He'd been rescued from a paedophile ring. And when he arrived, he was very, very disturbed. And they live on a farm, and the first thing that this little boy did was pull the heads off all of their chickens and killed them all. And we were really all praying for him and his situation. And again, he had other interventions. And I was talking to my mum about it quite recently. And now we're going back 5 years probably. And she told me that he's got his own little chicken now that he looks after and he cares for. And God has brought him healing. Now, that's not to say that these things aren't long journeys sometimes, but I really do believe that God can bring inner and emotional healing, sometimes alongside physical healing, sometimes not. The third type, I've counted the first one as physical healing, so then it was inner or emotional. The third is what I've called spiritual healing or forgiveness, and this deals with sin and our will, and maybe our own or maybe somebody else's. And it deals with wrong patterns of behaviour. I'll tell you one of my most shameful stories now, just so you don't always think I've got good stories. I came back from work one day when we were in, I won't even tell you where we were, but we were living somewhere. And I don't want to identify the person. And I walked through the door from work and I slammed the door and I went, "Oh my gosh, Tim, can you see that parking? Someone looks like they've abandoned their car in the middle of the road." And as I shouted this through my front door, I noticed that Tim had somebody with him. And this guy was like, "I'm so sorry. I think it was me. I've just abandoned my car." And I was like, "Oh no, no, it's fine. Oh no, it's not that bad at all. Don't worry. And I quickly disappeared somewhere else. But what had happened is this guy had come to see Tim and he confessed to having an affair, and his marriage was in real trouble. But over the course of the following years, we saw God bring so much healing to their marriage. In fact, I remember saying to Tim at some party some years later, "Whoa, look at what God has done in their marriage. It's like it's healed." And I know that that wasn't instantaneous, it wasn't easy, it wasn't an easy journey, but God can bring healing. I remember another time when we prayed for a guy, this was a lot of years ago, in a flat that we lived in Oxford. We were on a prayer ministry team at our church at the time, and he really needed to release forgiveness. This sort of became apparent as we'd been praying for him for a little while. Because one of his parents had committed suicide and he felt so angry with them. And I remember it well because it was really dramatic. And when he forgave this parent, he shouted out in this really loud voice. And I remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, the people in the upstairs flat, I think something terrible is happening." And that was instantaneous. He said he felt like a different person instantly. And so I do think that through prayer there can be real freedom. In James 5:16 it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And sometimes just speaking out our sins can bring freedom. And we can pray to receive forgiveness from God. And I really believe that he wants us to live free from shame and guilt and things that we carry. And it brings healing to our relationship with God, and it also brings healing to our relationship with others. And we can also pray to set other people free. And we can release the anger that we have against them. And then I think that helps us to experience God's presence more fully. Now, I know this isn't easy. I've told you that I've walked through that journey with those two young girls. And they got to a place where they were able to forgive that person. But it wasn't an easy journey. It can be very difficult. And I do appreciate there are probably people who've experienced a lot of pain. But I have seen God bring amazing healing. And then the last thing is freedom and deliverance. And I think there's a real battle going on. I think it's really interesting that tonight on healing, a lot of people in our church have had a DMV bug that's just brought people down. I think there's power in there's kind of evil power that can be broken. And we have seen God set people free from addictions or habitual patterns of behavior that's destructive. We've seen God set people free from heroin addictions and alcohol addictions and pornography addictions. And sometimes that's been absolutely instantaneous. We prayed for one guy in a friend of ours' church, and we prayed for him to stop his heroin addiction, and instantly he never touched it again. That's not so common. In my experience, mainly it's a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline, a lot of input from a lot of people, and a lot of prayer. I think sometimes when we talk about evil and we talk about freedom and we talk about deliverance, we worry about possession, don't we? I chat to a lot of people who say, I worry about possession and I think I'm possessed and things like that. I've got limited experience. I've seen what I would consider one person who I would think is demon possessed. And that was when I was in Uganda, actually. And the team prayed for this person and they were set free. But mainly, I think, in our lives, remember, the Bible says that where the Spirit is, you know, he is powerful. He is the most powerful. I think mainly people are maybe oppressed. And there can be things in our lives that we allow in that can cause oppression, that God can set us free from and can bring healing to. Things like Freemasonry. There's been some Freemasonry history in to my family. And so when we got married, we just prayed that that would stop and there'd be no further links to our family. Interestingly, a little church nearby asked us to go and pray for them because they're having some funny things happening in their church that they think is linked to Freemasonry history. And also where people open the door to funny spiritual practices or Ouija boards and funny types of healing and things like that. I think you can open a door to something which it's just sensible to pray and ask God to heal. Just to wrap this bit up, there are numerous studies that show how one's emotional and mental and spiritual states have direct bearing on our physical health. And it's my belief that we're one in body, mind and spirit. And sometimes physical ailments can have an emotional root. Tim and I did a course at the Well, which is a healing centre in Leamington Spa a few years ago. And they taught a lot. They pray for people every day. And you can just call in any time and have a prayer appointment for free. And they talked a lot about seeing patterns where people who had real bitterness in their lives developed a lot of ulcers. People who had some unforgiveness sometimes developed arthritis. People who had traumas often developed tummy aches. Now, you have to be very, very careful with this because some people just have arthritis. They don't have the other things. So this is a sometimes thing. And you have to be really careful because it can be really damaging to somebody to suggest that it might be because they've got unforgiveness in their lives. But sometimes these things do have physical outworkings. And I'm just also really struck that so many times in Scripture, people come to Christ for healing and they're only thinking of the physical healing. And Scripture is clear that Christ wants to do more than just heal our bodies. He wants to make us whole. And that means healing in every part of who we are. I think I'll stop there and hand back.
Great. Thanks, Kate. So now we're going to listen to God. You remember last week we began to do that after Kate had talked about the different forms of hearing God. And we're going to practice that again. And I use that word advisedly, really, practice, because we're all practicing. We've all got more to learn, however long we've been learning how to listen to God. And so we're going to ask for words of knowledge, and I think particularly about healing, whether it's the healing that Kate just talked about or physical healing. And what we're going to do is, hopefully you'll have all picked up a piece of paper and a pen. If you haven't, can you just put your hand up and Jane and Tim will come and give you some. And this is just to be done on your own. What we'd like you to do is just to spend a couple of minutes listening to God and just asking him if there's something that he would like to reveal to you tonight. And it may be somebody for somebody here tonight, or it may be for another time. But just ask him, God, is there something you want to reveal to us tonight to do with healing, whether it's inner healing, physical healing, emotional healing? And I would encourage you, as I've been learning this, I've learned that actually it's not about kind of screwing up our eyes and thinking, please God, speak. God longs to speak to us. He longs to reveal to us things. And I would also encourage you to write down the first thing that comes into your head. To you, it may seem really odd, but actually if you offer it to somebody else, it may be absolutely right. So I would encourage you just to quietly sit there. I'll pray in a minute. And we'll just have a minute or two just listening. And then I'll encourage you to write down what you think you've heard. And then a few of us will come and collect what you've written. And then we'll have a look through them. And then we'll share some of them a bit later when we come to do some ministry. So let me just pray. And then we'll just have a time of quiet. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God who longs to speak, who longs to bring freedom, who longs to bring revelation. And Lord, we've seen that already. And so we pray now that you would speak to each one of us. Would you show us, Father, the things that you want to bring tonight? We know your timing is perfect, and we know you're a good and gracious and loving God. So I pray that we'd have ears to hear and open hearts to receive what you want to bring this evening. We pray it in your name. Amen.
Let's try it. Oh, there we go. That's better. Wonderful. Excellent. Well, evening, everyone. How are we all? We all right? Excellent. Can I just say I really enjoy doing this kind of thing. Not talking, but just kind of just generally, although I do enjoy talking as well as anybody who knows me knows very well. But I love this kind of, just these moments where we get an opportunity to just give something a go. And actually just that I thought kind of what Patrick and Ginny were saying earlier on, just about this being a safe place just to give stuff a go, is just so important. And actually we're all here to learn. All of us are still learning. Kate, myself, all of us who've been doing stuff up at the front through Kingdom Living are still learners. And every single one of us have got so much more that we need to learn. And actually my heart in all of that we've been doing over these last few weeks has been actually, well, let's go on a journey together. And let's try and learn a bit more together about how we can do the ministry of Jesus ourselves in our lives. That we might see more and more of God's Spirit and more of the signs of the kingdom together in our church. So I don't know why I'm talking about that. I'm just waffling. So let me pray and then I can actually get on with talking about physical healing. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Lord, thank you for the sense of your presence that is in this place already. And I pray, Father, that as we look now at physical healing, Lord, I pray and ask that you would just speak and command and release a deposit of faith into each of our lives right now. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. And just release the healing ministry amongst us this evening. For we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. So let me start off by asking you a question. And this is one of those questions which isn't rhetorical. I want you to do something, okay? I want you to put your hand up if you believe that God heals today. Does God heal today? Hands up if you think yes. Okay, so a good number of hands up. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, again, I want you to put your hands up if your answer to this question is yes. Okay, so the second question. Do you expect somebody to be healed when you pray for them for healing? Okay. So let me just tell you, right, I have asked that question in so many different churches and I have had exactly the same response everywhere I've gone. The answer to the question, does God heal today? Most people hand straight up. We don't have a problem believing that, do we? As Christians, we're believers in the word of God and yeah, we believe God heals. Do we expect God to heal people when we pray for them? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, actually, you know, some people, yeah, we've got faith. Others, oh, hang on a second, I've never even thought about that. And lots of us kind of just in that in-between place. And I just wanted, I think that's a useful way to start talking about this, just to name the reality of actually where many of us are this evening. That actually when it comes to this question of physical healing and can we expect to see people healed or not, actually it's useful to kind of go, actually, let's just look around at each other. Actually, we're really wrestling with this. As people, we're really wrestling with this as Christians, as people who are trying to follow Jesus more, we're really wrestling with it, with this particular question. For me, I passionately believe that God does heal today. But I also passionately believe that that I can expect to see people healed when I pray for them. And my basis for that is experiential in one sense. It's experiential in the sense that I have prayed for so many people now and have seen them healed. And it's as simple as that. I've tried to put into practice what I think the Word of God says in my life, and I've seen lots and lots and lots of people healed. And I think healing is a reality that we live with. I'm going to ask Kat to come and just share very briefly. She's told me she's got a 20-minute version of her story, a 5-minute version of her story, and a 1-minute version of her story. And so I've asked her for the 1-minute version of her story this evening. So why don't we welcome Kat as she comes up. Kat, why didn't you just tell us a little bit about your journey recently?
So, hi guys. Fun story. So it all started in March 2012. I had been going to secondary school and things. I was always very sensitive to just feelings around school and different things, so feelings of stress, this, that, and the other. I was just running basically on anxiety and stress and adrenaline all the time, not really wanting to know God. And so I became extremely, extremely unwell. March the 30th, 2012, I collapsed and couldn't get up. And 6 months later was diagnosed with severe chronic fatigue syndrome, ME, or anxiety conversion disorder. So 3.5 years of me living in the living room with sound sensitivity, light sensitivity, and a lot of anxiety. It was a long process. So it was 4 years in total. And I could literally tell you year by year, though, what God was doing, slowly leading me back to Him, and choosing Him rather than to get depressed or anything else. January 2016, just by chance, was watching TV, and he led me to watch Joseph Prince, and he was talking about communion, taking that as a non-religious thing, but just receiving God's love and healing personally. During then, January to April 2016, I saw more progress in healing in my body than I had done the 3.5 years before. It works. April the 26th and 27th, Randy Clark came, just God basically built up my faith, through a few different just God incidences with programs watching and things. On the 26th, there was a word of knowledge, that really connected with me, and I heard God say, go up to the front. I went. I was in a wheelchair at this point. I was in a wheelchair 90% of the time. Mum was my full-time carer. Went up to the front. She prayed for me and felt nothing happen. Two guys from the Randy Clark prayer team came over and had a word that was self-hatred. So the whole thing about it being inner healing to then outer healing, it was definitely true for that with me because I had a lot of inner prayer. So dealing with wounds and lies and things that had happened in secondary school. So they prayed for me, the Randy Clark prayer team, and I was able to stand for 10 minutes as they prayed. I realized in myself, sorry, this is going to go past the 1 minute. I'm trying to be quick. It's so hard. I was 80% healed that time. That night, I had a dream where it was like, basically, don't stick just for the 80%, go for the 100%. So then on the 27th in the evening, Randy Clark did a general prayer and asked to test yourself to see if you were any better in things. And I saw a picture of me running up and down the Christchurch aisle. And I was like, wow, God, that's wild. But I'm going to do it. So I ran up and down the church aisle and came back. And that happened twice. And after the second time, it was like just knowing in myself, I'm completely and utterly healed. So I didn't need earplugs for the worship or sunglasses for the sun. No more wheelchair. I was completely healed. Ever since then, I've just been getting used to normal life, coming to Christchurch, 20s to 30s as well, which is really good, and the five. There have been up and downs along the way ever since, but into education again and making friends, and God's restoring family, and he's awesome.
Brilliant. Yeah, thank so you, good. Kat. That is wonderful.
Thanks, just to share one little thing that was literally like 10 seconds. One little extra, sorry. So I just sensed, as I was just in worship there, just to read this to you. It's all to do with Jesus. So it's him in us, intertwined with us. We are his instruments for worship in every part of life. It's him who loves us no matter what. It's him who heals us. It's him who couldn't love us any more than he does right now. And it's him who seeks us passionately.
Amen. Wonderful. And I remember Kat coming to that conference in a wheelchair. And then I was sat just back there, just kind of a bit behind where Chris is sat at the moment. And I remember seeing Kat running up and down this aisle past me. And just thinking, wow, what an amazing God we've got. Isn't that amazing? So the basis for my belief in healing is experiential, because having seen so many people were healed. But also, it's intellectual as well. Because my basis in the belief for healing is rooted in actually what I read in this book. That actually, I read in the pages of the New Testament, and what I read there convinces me that actually, not only should I expect to see people healed, but that I can expect to see people healed. And we're going to just unpack a little bit about that and look a little bit about what does the Bible say about healing? What's a bit of a theology of healing? And does the question, this is the question I think, does what we think about healing and the healing ministry actually match up with what Scripture actually teaches about the healing ministry? So what does the Bible teach about healing? Well, I think the first thing that the Bible teaches about healing is that Jesus healed the sick. Now, I'm hoping that that's not a controversial statement this evening, okay? I'm hoping that we can accept that as a baseline for all of our belief, that Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he went about and is part of his ministry, announcing, proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God, he actually healed the sick. I think the more interesting question is, how did Jesus heal the sick? And we looked at this in the very first week, if you were here with us. And the answer is, we find it in Luke chapter 3, and then Luke chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5, where in Luke chapter 3, Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan. And as he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. And so Jesus, or Luke, then tells us what actually has happened to Jesus. In Luke 4 verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, Luke writes, that baptism experience was Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. He then left the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit. So he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and then out of the wilderness. Then Jesus returns to Galilee. This is verse 14 of chapter 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, I was saying, and Patrick was helpfully reminding us earlier, that my conviction is this, that Jesus ministered as a man in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, gives us a model to follow, because he ministered giving us a perfect example of what perfect Holy Spirit-empowered humanity can look like. So he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. But of course, when we look through the pages of the gospel, there's an amazing variety of ways that Jesus actually healed the sick. And it's clear that he exercised extraordinary creativity as well. And so there are lots of different methods. Jesus touched people and they were healed. For sometimes he commanded healing at a distance, the centurion's servant, for one example. Sometimes he put fingers in people's ears. Sometimes he put spit on their eyes. Sometimes he spat on their tongues. Don't worry, I've never had to do that before with anybody, but there's always a first time, you never know. Spit, mud balls, and an action. Sometimes one word deliverance, go. Sometimes simply the exercising of faith. So in Mark 6:13, oil. And sometimes the edge of the cloak, if you remember the woman with the issue of blood who reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and power goes out of Jesus. And sometimes with pronouncements and declarations. But quite often we see in these things that these things are accompanied by what I would describe as a word of command. That Jesus uses authoritative prayer. And this is something which is really difficult for us to unlearn as Christians. Because most of us have been taught in the Christian life to pray like this. Father God, please would you heal X of Y. So that been your experience? I think that's really true, isn't it? And that's certainly how I was brought up to pray for people. But actually, when we look at how Jesus prayed for healing, he prayed for healing like this. Mark 1:41, with the man with leprosy, Jesus says, be clean. It's an authoritative statement. In Mark 7:34, the man who's deaf and both deaf and mute, Jesus says, be opened. Jesus takes authority, I believe, over has authority in that situation. And he knows that he's got authority, so he is able to make a declaration or a word and use a word of command. And we'll come back to that a little bit later on. So the first thing, Jesus healed the sick. Jesus healed the sick in the power of the Spirit. But then the second thing is that there is a spiritual gift of healing. We've already talked about this, that in that list in 1 Corinthians 12, there is a gift of healing. And of course, we've already kind of touched on this, that healing can mean a lot of different things. And as Kate's really helpfully unpacked a lot of those in her talk earlier today. And I think I wanted Kat to share her testimony, because a lot of the time, the things are all intertwined. That actually it's not as simple and as clear-cut as one thing or another. Often there's lots going on in a particular moment, in a particular situation, as Kat was really helpfully sharing with us. And all of these are all aspects of the healing ministry. But when we're talking about the spiritual gift of healing, what I think we're primarily talking about is the gift of being able to see physical healing, where healing is about a change in someone's physical body. So someone has a broken bone in their body, they're prayed for, and then they no longer have that broken bone. Someone is sick or has an illness, some kind of infirmity or a disease, and that is healed. And the gift of healing restores that person to perfect health, to wholeness in that physical sense. Last summer, I had the privilege of going over to the New Wine Conference over in Finland. It was about 2,500 people, 2,500 Finns who, if you think we Brits are reserved, then you've not seen anything. It's, you know, the Finns are kind of, you know, the English on a bad day. It's got to be said. But there was one lady who was there and she came forward for ministry and she had a problem with her foot. She had a problem with her heel and she was a dancer. And so myself and a lady, we prayed for her. And we commanded healing in Jesus' name. And then we said, okay, give it a go. And this lady, having not been able to dance for a whole year, began to dance before the Lord down, up and down on the front of the thing. Her heel had been perfectly healed. And it was a real joy to me to see in every time of worship after that, this lady dancing before the Lord in every time of worship, her heel having been healed. There was a woman there as well who had a hip and ankle problem. She'd been struggling and suffering for 20 years. And this lady was healed instantly as we prayed for her. And she again started dancing. She wasn't a professional dancer, so it wasn't quite as nice as the first lady. But anyway, it was a joyful dancing before the Lord, which was great. And I then kind of did a seminar on healing. And one of the things which I did with them, which we'll probably do a little bit later on, was actually just to basically get people to pray for each other. And just to show that it's not all about me, it's anybody can do this. And I then kind of came down from the platform that I was on and came round with a microphone just to get some testimonies of what was going on. And the first people I see were a group of three Finnish ladies. There was a small Finnish lady, there was a medium-sized Finnish lady, and there was a large Finnish lady. It sounds like a joke, I know, but that's the way it was. And there was the very small Finnish lady was being, her foot was being stood on by the very large Finnish lady. And I thought, I've got to go and find out what is going on over here. So I walked over to her and I said, what's going on? Apart from obviously this rather large lady standing on your foot. And she said, I came to this conference with a broken foot. And she said, they've just prayed for me. The pain's gone completely. And so my friend here is standing on my foot to check whether I've been healed or not. Finish logic for you. It was excellent. I mean, we saw so many healings. I literally went round and round that room. There must have been about 400 people in that seminar. And I lost count of how many people were testifying to partial or complete healing as I went round that room. It was amazing. And actually, there is a spiritual gift of healing which restores people to health and to wholeness in their bodies. And actually, my conviction is that the spiritual gift of healing is available for everyone. And I think that sometimes we read scripture and we see passages like 1 Corinthians 12 and we read bits like the Spirit gives to each one as he determines and think that that includes some people and excludes other people from these spiritual gifts. And it's like we have no sense of ownership over what spiritual gifts we have or not. I remember my very first trip with New Wine International. I went as a very small part of this team to Finland. And I went along just thinking I was just going to carry someone's bags and just be there just to enjoy the ride kind of thing. I got there and they said, oh yeah, could you do a talk on spiritual gifts, please? And I was like, you've got to be joking. And this was their idea of throwing me in at the deep end, I think. And so they said, okay, we want you just to basically, just really simply, just explain what each of the gifts are and then give a personal example. And so I sat down with a piece of paper, I wrote down the gifts, and then I wrote down a personal example from my own life of each of those gifts in operation. And I suddenly thought to myself, wow, I'm either extraordinarily gifted or my theology's wrong. Because I was there thinking, actually, it's the Spirit who just gives and I've got no control over it. So either I'm extraordinarily gifted. None of you are agreeing with that at this point in time, I notice. All my theology needed to change. And my theology did need to change. Because actually where we get to with it's the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts and we have absolutely no control over what we receive actually gets us to the point where we are disempowered as Christians for the Christian life. And how I've grown to understand spiritual gifts is very much in terms of a toolkit. That the Holy Spirit gives us the tools that we need to get the job of Jesus' ministry and seeing the kingdom come done when we need it. And at a very basic level, I believe that every single one of us has access to every single one of the Holy Spirit's spiritual gifts. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying that all of us are going to be Billy Graham when it comes to the gift of evangelism. Not all of us are going to be called to be prophets to the nation. But actually, every single one of us can share the gospel and expect to see someone become a Christian through us and our personal witness. Every single one of us, we're a prophetic people, aren't we? Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Every single one of us can expect to hear God speak to us and expect to hear God speak for another person. That doesn't mean that you're going to be getting a word which will be needed to be shared from the front here in church or a word for this city. But I think there are different levels and different ministry levels in all of these gifts. But at a very basic level, all of them are available for all of us as Christians. And actually, if we don't believe that, then actually something like the Spirit of the gift of healing actually becomes set apart for specifically anointed people and for almost like the professional Christians. Instead of actually understanding that the call to heal the sick is actually a call and a commission from Jesus to the whole of his body, to the whole of the church. And actually healing, I believe, is something that each and every one of us should expect to see in our lives. And when we step out in faith, take a risk and pray for people. But is that really what the Bible teaches? I hear you saying. Well, let's just look very briefly at a couple of scriptures just to unpack this. And a little bit later on in Luke's Gospel, if you've got a Bible with you, we read Luke, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is sending out of the 12. Let me just read to you a few verses from scripture. So when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so I want you to picture the scene, okay? So here's Jesus, and he's called his 12 closest followers together. And so we've got Judas, we've got Thomas, we've got Peter, we've got John, we've got the rest. What Jesus doesn't do is he doesn't go down the line and go, okay, Peter, you're good with words, or you're going to be. So you're going to preach the gospel, okay? John, you've got the spiritual gift of healing, so you're going to heal the sick. He doesn't do that, does he? He sends them all out to do what he had been doing. He sent them all out to do the same things, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, to drive out demons, and to cure diseases, to heal the sick. He sends them all out to do it. But of course, you may well be sat there thinking, okay, but weren't the 12 pretty special? You know, they had a particular calling. They were his apostles, called to spread the gospel. Well, let's look at what happens in Luke 10 when Jesus sends out the 72. So remember, so let me just go back a step at Luke chapter 9. Jesus sends the 12 out, and he sends them out with two things. He sends them with power, with the Holy Spirit, but then he also gives them authority. And this is Jesus' delegated authority, the authority that Jesus has to see the miraculous happen. So then he sends out the 12, and then he sends out the 72. And then it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And then a little later on, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So again, we see a very similar pattern in what Jesus is doing with the 72. He sends them all out, all 72 out of them out, and he sends them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sends them all out to do it. And then when they return a little bit later on, they say, it says in verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So their experience was that the authority of Jesus that they'd had delegated to them was actually the authority over the powers of darkness as well. So Jesus sent out the 72 in exactly the same way that he sent out the 12. They had the same call, they had the same commission. Well, what about us? John 14, verse 12. If you remember nothing else this evening, I want you to remember this verse. John 14, verse 12, which says this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. In other words, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. Anyone who believes in me, whoever believes in me. Now, I have done an exhaustive study of the Greek in this verse. And I can officially tell you right now that the word for whoever is the word all. And the meaning of the word all in Greek, in the original Greek, is all. Okay, I just want to make that perfectly clear, okay? There has been no textual problems. There's been no problem with translation on this. What Jesus is saying is that anyone who believes in him can expect to do what he did. This, I think, is an absolutely staggering verse. And it's a verse to feed our hearts on. So hands up if you believe in Jesus today. Okay, put your hands down. Okay. So, hands up if this verse is saying that Jesus says that you can expect to do what he has done. Great. Yes, I can see a few reluctant hands going up there, but it's some inescapable logic here, I think. So, Jesus sent us out with the same commission, I believe, and the same command as his first disciples. Let me just say very briefly my experience of how healing comes, because this is quite helpful, I think. Because sometimes healing comes instantly. Sometimes we pray for people and they are instantly healed. I prayed for a man who was actually on an alpha course for homeless people up in Birmingham. And he'd lost 50% of his hearing in his right ear because somebody had taken a pint glass and smashed it on the side of his head. His ear was actually had healed, but was hanging further down the side of his head. And he said to me, you know, oh, I have to go. It was the Holy Spirit day. And he said, I have to go, but early. So can you pray for me first? So I finished my talk and then said, right, we're going to pray for some people this guy would like to be prayed for. So up he came. And I prayed for his ear. And I said, you know, anything happening? He said, don't really notice anything happening. And I said, great, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to walk to the other end of the hall, which is about the same distance as here to the hall, the doors. And I said, go to there. I said, cover your good ear. Would you be able to hear me normally? And he said, no, I wouldn't be able to hear you at that kind of distance. And so I said, okay, well, you know, cover your ear over there. He walked to the back and I said, okay, can you hear me? And he went, yes. I said, can you hear me? And slowly went lower and lower and lower and lower until I was practically whispering. And he said, I can hear you. He'd been instantly healed. There was also a long corridor, which was the way out of the hall back to the main street. He then walked down this corridor. I started talking again. And then all we could hear was this disembodied voice from down the end of the corridor saying, I can still hear you from here. Which was quite fun. Partial healing. Sometimes people are instantly healed. Sometimes there's a partial healing. I remember I was praying for a man in Sweden. He had only 4% vision in his right eye. And I prayed for him, and slowly his eye just got better and better and better and better. I prayed for him 4 times, and each time there was a significant improvement. Until he said, I reckon I've got about 80% vision in my right eye now. Couldn't get it beyond 80%. That was, no matter how many times more I prayed for him, no matter how many times other people prayed for him, 80% vision. I don't know what happened after that. I don't know if he was healed further than that. But actually, it was still amazing. But it was only partial for some reason. But then sometimes there's no sign of healing. But my experience has been that actually sometimes people are healed as they go. Kate and I used to head up a ministry called Healing on the Streets in Birmingham, in the place where we lived in Harborne. And one Saturday morning, a lady on our team brought this lady over to us, and she said, oh, you've got to listen to this lady. And this lady was a Hindu lady, and she said, I've come back to say thank you for praying for me. I said, okay, you know, what happened? And she said, a year ago, you and your team prayed for me. And she said, and I came because I had boils all over my body. And she said, I'd gone to the doctors and they'd been able to do nothing. She said, I'd spent over £5,000 on different treatments and nothing was working. And she said, and this is what I looked like. And showed me this picture, and there was a boil there and a boil there and a boil there on her face. And she said, you prayed for me and absolutely nothing happened. She said, I went home that night, I went to sleep, I woke up in the morning, I got out of bed, I looked in the mirror and I looked at my face and there were no boils on my face. She said, I unchecked the rest of my body. Every single boil had gone from my body. Here I am 12 months later to tell you that those boils have never returned. And she said, I keep saying to all of my family and friends, don't bother going to see the doctor. Go and get prayed for on the street. So sometimes there might be no sign of healing when we pray initially, but actually people can be healed as they go away. And actually we had a lady at one of our alpha courses, first one we did here, and she came after the healing night, and she said that she had a lump in around her eye, and she said she was so terrified that it was cancerous that she didn't even want to go and see the doctor. But she said this lump was just growing and growing and growing. And she said she went home after that evening, having been prayed for, nothing had happened. And then she woke up the next morning and looked in the mirror again, and the lump had completely gone, and her eye was completely fine. Absolutely amazing. So sometimes nothing happens initially, but as people go away, something does then happen. So let me take you very briefly, oh my word, look at the time, I need to speed up. Let me very briefly take you through a very practical and simple model of for prayer for healing that we're going to use tonight. So Nick, are you happy? Is it up on the screen? No? Would that be all right? Thanks, mate. So here we go. So this is the prayer model that we're going to use. And so we're going to start off by asking a question. And so the question we're going to ask is, what's wrong? Okay, pretty simple one to start with, because if you don't know the answer to that question, how do we know what to pray for? But then the second question we need to be asking ourselves, and this is often the question we need to be asking internally and asking the Lord, is why does this person have this condition? Nick, can we have the next slide? Would that be okay? Thanks, mate. Because actually, as Kate's been talking about, actually there are some physical healing can actually come from an emotional healing. That sometimes physical ailments have an emotional root to them. But sometimes if you have a broken leg because somebody's had a bicycle accident, then it's pretty obvious what the issue is. And actually here, we need to have one ear to be listening to what the person's telling us, but also one ear listening to what the Lord is saying as well. Because we need his discernment in all of this. Because we can't assume just because someone's got a stomach ache, for example, as Kate was saying, we have to be so careful to make sure we don't jump to conclusions on the basis of kind of what people are presenting. We need to be listening to the Lord and asking him for his discernment and leading. And then the third thing is, how do we pray? We see different models in the New Testament. We've already talked about the creativity of Jesus that he exercised in the healing ministry. But actually, what I found really helpful is simply to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to fill that person. Because actually, Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. How much more do you and I need to be if he was too? And then we need to pray, I believe, a prayer of authority. So I'm going to encourage you this evening not to pray, please God, will you heal Kate? But actually to pray prayers like, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this leg problem and I command it to be healed right now in Jesus' name. To really believe that just like his first disciples, Jesus has given us power by the Holy Spirit, but also his delegated authority to see healing come. And then the fourth question, after we've prayed, to ask how are they feeling? Sometimes it's obvious that something's happening. Sometimes when you pray for people, there's some kind of something obvious happening. Sometimes you pray for people and they start moving the body part that was hurting and you realize that something's happened already. But sometimes nothing seems like it's happening. And sometimes you can say to people, okay, are you sensing anything? And they say no. And actually it's at that moment that I found as the person praying that often that's the moment when I have to exercise faith. And actually to say in that moment, I remember we had, at Healing on the Streets, we had two local police officers who would walk the beat. And we developed a real relationship with them because they were there every Saturday morning and they used to like to take the mick out of what we were doing and I'd obviously take the mick out of them in return. And we had this regular thing where I'd invite them to come and be prayed for. And it became this standing joke between us. And then one day, there was a man and a woman, and they were walking down, and I said, got anything to pray for today? And the bloke thought it was absolutely hilarious, but he was like, yes, Sue, your arm, you can get your arm prayed for. Now, she had a problem with her shoulder, and couldn't move her shoulder beyond that kind of level, and it was very painful. And so I said, well, what have you got to lose? And so egged on by her colleague, who was almost doubled up with laughter by this point in time, she came and took a seat in the chair. And we prayed for her and then said to her, how do you feel? And she said, I don't feel anything at all. I said, okay, try and move your arm, exercising faith. She moved her arm all the way up, arm completely healed. Completely pain-free, full range of movement. The other copper wasn't laughing quite so much at that point in time. He stood there with a slightly stunned expression on his face, it would be fair to say. So sometimes nothing may be happening, but actually sometimes it's right to continue to pray. And actually it's a process of dialogue at that point in time, just actually saying, okay, well, do we need to continue praying? Or sometimes if you see 10% of healing, actually, well, there's slight improvement. Actually, that should be an encouragement to pray again rather than to say, okay, well, it's not really working very well. Let's stop there. But then the what next? What's next? Actually, it's important to reassure people of God's love for them. That actually, even if nothing happens at all, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. I was chatting with a small child recently, and in some of the RE lessons that they do, they're encouraged to ask the question of, okay, well, how can you describe God? How would you describe God? And then they're supposed to use like a building or like a piece of clothing. And this child decided to use a building to describe God. And he said, I think that God is like a hospital because he makes you better. And then he paused and then he said, but only if he likes you. That is what we want to avoid, okay? Because that's not good theology, in case you were wondering. So regardless of whether people are healed or not, actually it's not a sign of whether God loves them or not. We live in the reality of the now and the not yet. And at the heart of the healing ministry, there is mystery. Why are some people healed? Why are others not? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that apart from we don't yet see the fullness of God's kingdom here. So what's next? Actually, we persist in prayer. And actually, maybe it's right to pray again now. Sometimes it might be right to pray again later on. Anyway, I've talked for far, far too long. Kate, my wife, is nodding at me. So Patrick and Ginny, why don't you come up? And I think the next thing that we're going to do is I'd love us to model actually what we're talking about and to model this prayer model. And so, guys, are you happy to kind of just read through some of those words of knowledge, please?
Right, I've got the physical healing ones over here. So I'm just going to read through them quickly and see how we get on. Okay, so tension, headaches, stress caused by finance. I've tried to group them, by the way, so hopefully they'll come through together. Strong headaches, repetitive, someone who has headaches mostly on the left-hand side, left ear, strain of carrying heavy burden leading to neck ache, pain in the neck, right side, bones, right hand rash, right knee cartilage issue, painful left foot, healing for heels and ankles, left ankle, healing of someone's gums, someone who has trouble with sight in their right eye, someone else wrote right eye, a clouded right eye, dry eyes, with a pile of newspapers, if that means anything to anybody. Then large, tall, smooth boulder. And then just an encouragement to pray for the BRI, and specifically for Ray, who's in the BRI, that his collapsed lung recovers and that he may be comfortable.
Great. Okay, so what I want you to ask yourselves is, did any of those words of knowledge describe something that you're struggling with at the moment? Okay. And if you recognised one of those talking about you and your condition, and you would be willing to be prayed for, and you have something which is causing you pain at the moment, and it's something which is a physical ailment that you will know if you're healed at right now, then I'd like you to put your hand up if you'd be willing to be prayed for. Okay. Clough, why don't you come forward? So, let me just... Oh, brilliant, thank you. So, Clough, what do you mind me asking? What have you responded
that
to?
That was a painful left foot. It was recurrent sort of pain and sore on the end of the toe, which I've been trying to treat for about 2 years off and on. It comes and goes, and when I'm trying to run, which I am at the moment, I have to sort of protect it, and it's sort of a pain, basically.
And is it painful at the moment?
It is if I put any pressure on it, yes.
Great. Okay, so you would know if you were healed in this moment.
Yes.
Great. That's what we're looking for. Perfect. Great. So, Clough, is it all right if we pray for you?
Yes,
Brilliant. Excellent. Right. Do come here. So we're just going to model very briefly how to pray for healing. If I was you, I'd pay attention and watch this because I'm going to be asking you to do it in just a moment, okay? So, Clough, is it all right? So Patrick and Ginny are going to come and join me. Is it all right if we put our hands on you to pray for you? Great. It's always good to ask. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Just acknowledge our total dependence upon you, Holy Spirit. So Spirit of Jesus, come now, I pray. And just release your healing presence and your healing power into Clough right now. More of you, Holy Spirit. Just release your healing presence, I pray. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this painful toe. And whatever's wrong with it, I command it to be healed right now in Jesus' name. Pain, I rebuke you, and I command you to go from that toe right now in Jesus' name. And I bless that toe to work as it was designed to work, free from pain, with complete movement in Jesus' name. So be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Clough, how were you feeling whilst we were praying for you?
Weak. Slightly weak.
Okay.
Just don't know why, just sort of, unless you want to sort of...
Okay, yeah. Do you give your toe a go?
It certainly doesn't seem like it feels fine at the moment. It really does.
Great.
Yes.
And if you
did, I couldn't do that without a lot of pain when I got here. So.
Praise the Lord. There we go. Round of applause for the Lord. Perfect. Let's just pray for Clough again. Father God, we thank you so much for what you're doing. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. Holy Spirit, we honour you in this. And we just bless you and we thank you. And we say, Jesus, you deserve the glory. We give the glory to you, Jesus. We bless you and we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen. And we just bless Clough now in your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 A large Finnish lady.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Isn't Jesus good? He's amazing, isn't he? Absolutely brilliant. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what I want us to do now is that if you... Oh, brilliant. Excellent. Yeah, go for those.
Yeah, there's just a few more. Someone who is suffering from depression. Nothing is impossible. It may be improbable. It may not actually happen, but it is not impossible. A sunflower, sunbeam, exhaustion. Had a picture of a person fully dark with a hat of light, I think that says, around them, and the sense that this person feels like the Holy Spirit is only at the surface and hasn't filled to the centre, to the whole person. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Wholeness, not just prolonging life. Healing for hearts that feel heavy. Healing of endometriosis. Healing of body, peace in heart,